possible widening of the conflict in Syria. Syrian forces have reportedly stepped up their attacks on the besieged city of Homs, which for a week has been attacked by government forces. Roads in and out of parts of that city have been blocked. There's been a week-long bombardment of tanks, helicopters, and artillery fire. Hundreds have been killed. And the second largest city in Syria, Aleppo, has now been shaken by two big explosions near security buildings. First report said at least 11 people have been killed. Joining us now, Jim Muir, correspondent for our partner in the BBC in Beirut. Jim, what's the situation as far as you can tell?
Well, as far as Aleppo is concerned, the number of people killed, according to the Ministry of Health, and so they're talking about actual bodies arriving at hospitals, are 25 in Aleppo after those two explosions, with 125 people wounded. State TV has been running some absolutely gruesome pictures of bits of body parts being picked up and so on. Really, really explicit stuff that you wouldn't see on certainly on Western television chains. This is the first time Aleppo has experienced anything like this. It's largely stayed out of the uprising so far. It's actually, in population terms, the biggest city in the country, although it is second in status to Damascus, the capital. In fact, bomb attacks like this have not been a feature of the uprising so far, except for a couple in Damascus in December and another in January, which the regime blamed on al-Qaeda, but al-Qaeda denied it, and activists are insisting the regime is behind these blasts, trying to basically discredit the uprising, and that accusation has already been voiced after the explosions in Aleppo, which, of course, the government is blaming on what it calls terrorists.
And from your perspective as a journalist, there's no clear understanding of who's behind these explosions. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that they are obscure from a journalistic point of view. Yes, they do not fall within the mainstream activity of the uprising, which started as we all know, it's peaceful protests which got shot at. Eventually, it turned into a more of an armed insurgency in places like Homs, where armed people from the so-called Free Syrian Army have taken root. But this kind of what one can only objectively call terrorism, it's not a subjective term in this case, it's a scientific term, has not been a feature of the uprising so far. And they have rigorously denied that they're behind these kind of bombings, which need a lot of sort of sinister planning of the intelligence nature. It's not their kind of hallmark. That's why the uprising people, the activists, are accusing the regime of it, because it's the kind of dirty tricks, as it were, that they themselves, the uprising people, it doesn't serve their purpose at all, frankly.
And we can only hope that this tactic does not become a feature of this already very bloody conflict. Jim, you are correspondent for our partner, the BBC, reporting from Beirut on what Syrian state television reports are 25 killed, 175 wounded as a result of two bomb blasts in the city of Aleppo. Jim, thanks so much.
Most welcome.
We did an hour of special coverage yesterday on the situation in Syria, and we asked you to give us your stories, to give us your concerns, and we were looking for people with very specific and direct connections to Syria, and of course, we found people. There were numerous people who called in and told us about their concerns for the people of Syria. One of them was Ayata Shukari, who's a takeaway listener from Detroit with family and friends in Damascus, in Homs, in Hama. She joins us now. Ayat, thank you for joining the program.
Thank you for having me.
How difficult is it for you to follow events emotionally, and how difficult is it for you to keep up with family members just logistically in terms of getting a connection? Describe how you do that.
It's actually quite difficult to really follow events, and it's been extremely just an emotional roller coaster. Seeing what's happening in Syria and looking at the images coming out and the videos coming out, it's very distressing. The majority of my family actually happens to be in Damascus, where the violence is not as intense as it is in cities such as Homs. But of course, we have lots of family, friends, and so forth spread across Syria. So it's very difficult to stay sane, you know, in these types of situations, and really, as I said, it's just emotionally draining.
Well, Ayat, part of the insanity is you get one view when you call your friends in Damascus, and if you can reach your friends in Homs, you get a completely different view. Describe.
I mean, the reality is that people in Damascus are still very, very afraid. I mean, and because it hasn't hit them so hard in terms of just security there is so much stronger. They're not able to protest. They're not able to come out. You find that, of course, they're still afraid and they're not speaking up, but of course they feel what's happening. And they're still very much emotionally connected to what's happening in Homs. It's not like they're completely disconnected to that.
But the people in Homs are describing open warfare.
Yeah, certainly. Of course. I mean, that's what they're experiencing, definitely. And I think people in Damascus are afraid that that's what's going to happen to them, which is why there is still that fear of going out and really, I mean, you know, for us, it's almost frustration. Like, what's Damascus doing if Damascus doesn't go out and protest? People in Homs are just being slaughtered by the hundreds.
So, Ayat, you're an American citizen now, right?
Yes.
You were born in Damascus. Well, listen to the voice of your president here.
We both have a great interest in ending the outrageous bloodshed that we've seen and seeing a transition from the current government that has been assaulting its people.
A great interest in ending the outrageous bloodshed. Is that enough, Ayat?
In terms of just the overall stance, of, I think globally, internationally, it's been very frustrating to see kind of the UN resolution, what happened there, to see, you know, kind of just a silence overall and just words and no actions necessarily. It's been very, very frustrating for American Syrians because we feel that, you know, people need some sort of help. I mean, they're just being slaughtered. I'm telling you some of the images that you see and some of the descriptions that you get from people that are on the inside, it's just so brutal.
Horrific. Absolutely horrific. Ayat Jokeri, we hope the best for your family in Damascus and your friends in Homs. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Ayat Jokeri is a Takeaway listener from Detroit.